In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We know from anthropology that people weren't very tall in Jesus' day. We know this even in the Middle Ages because we can look at suits of armor that people wore. And they had to fit inside the suit. It was made of metal. And some of these things are not any more than 5'6". So I don't imagine that Jesus himself was very small, but I imagine that all of those created, those angelic powers, were quite large. And it's not represented in our iconography because it would diminish the importance of the person to whom the angel appeared. So there is not a relative difference, but I imagine that if they were the same size as human beings, they would appear as fruit flies, you know, going around the Savior. They had to be larger. There were thrones that held the Lord up. There were wheels that were on the chariot. These are types of angels. And so they were big and they were magnificent. The devil was one of those. He was beautiful. He was very beautiful. Don't think that the devil, the way that he is depicted in the manner in which you have seen him, reflects anything but his inner state. He was beautiful and he was dressed beautifully. This is a person, remember, or an entity who was very, very vain. Everything that he possessed was of the finest quality that was available on earth. He was more resplendent than when you see the patriarch any regal person who is a king or an emperor. He was dressed well. And how was the Lord dressed? Simply, in a robe. So set the scene for yourself. Now here is the devil who is coming to the Lord. The amazing thing is he doesn't realize that Jesus is the Lord. Now get this. The devil was there when the angel appeared to Saint Mary for the Annunciation. The devil was there at the birth of Jesus Christ and he saw the Magi who had come to present gifts to him. The devil was there when Jesus was baptized and John bare witness to him and cried out saying, "This is he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." He was there when the heavens opened up and heard the voice of God Almighty saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, listen to him." He was there at all these times, but now he looks at Jesus. He sees him in this state of humility, which is completely antithetical to what the essence of the devil is all about. He loves himself. He loves himself. He looks around and he is the best of all of the creation, and that was true, but he forgot he was created. Now, I know a lot of people that are proud, a lot of people who are proud, and they keep forgetting that if they have any abilities whatsoever, they're God-given. If their circumstances are good, they are God-given. And so they think, "I'm great, I'm wonderful." Women sell their beauty all the time for a myriad number of things. Do they not? Women especially do this. This vanity is of the devil. This is why the Lord said to women and reminded them, "Don't let your beauty be the outward plating of your hair or the adornment of your clothing. Don't let it be that. Let it be the inward beauty." Right? So why did the devil forget that he was great? The same reason that we human beings forget that every single thing that we have is a gift from God. But we think, "Oh no, this is me." And I will confess to you, because I've joked about this in the past, I was one of those, absolutely. Absolutely. I did things that were amazing. I'm not here to brag about what I did, but I am telling you they were amazing. And I did them. When I say I did them, I am representative of the devil himself. When I say I and not he, when my emphasis is on the earth and not on heaven, I am mimicking the devil. And so are all of us when we do these things. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ came so simply and so carefully. You know, the devil had seen people fast for 40 days before. You know, he saw Elijah fast for 40 days. He saw Moses fast twice for 40 days. So the Lord fasted for 40 days. The devil didn't come to him during the 40 days. Afterward, in his humanity, the Lord allowed himself to experience hunger. And when he became hungry, the devil showed up. Now, the first word that we prayed was, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit. First of all, Jesus isn't led anywhere. He has full, complete autonomy. He is God. When it says led, it's the humility, once again, that is emblematic of him taking flesh. And he allowed himself to follow. He wasn't dragged along by the hand. He wasn't told, come after me. The Spirit went into the wilderness and Jesus merely followed. And the devil is looking at all of this and he's thinking, what am I going to do? The devil, if I jump ahead, you know, to Holy Week, the devil didn't recognize Jesus Christ even on the cross. The devil never fully understood who Jesus was because of his humanity. But let's get back to this particular gospel reading. The Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in exactly the same way that our father Adam was tempted. The first temptation, you know, that appears in this that we have just prayed is the temptation of the belly. The Lord, after 40 days, allowed himself to hunger in the flesh. The devil saw this. He said to him, command that these stones may become bread. You know the Lord's response. We live not by these temporal things, but by the eternal truth of God. We listen to him. We meditate on what he has said. We live by the words that proceed out of the mouth of the Lord. Then he said, look, come up here with me. And he takes him to the highest point of the temple, right? And he says, look, you were told, if you're God, that if you fell, not if you fell, if you merely stubbed your toe on a rock, an angel would come and prevent it. Jump. How did this happen with Adam? The devil came to Adam and said, you were told if you eat of the tree that you're going to die? You're not going to die. The first thing that the devil wants to do actually to all of us is to interfere with our relationship with God. God has told us some things that we can count on, and the devil tries to undermine that. So the order of the temptations is changed a little bit from the Old Testament to the New Testament. But then the vanity of man. You know, a lot of times we think of things as just being a personal embellishment. As I was talking to the women about how they should dress, reciting from the Bible what the Lord himself had said. It's not just that you are vain because, oh, look, I have this new car, or I have this new house, or I have this new job, or... But vanity means that at the end of the day, all of your efforts were for naught. It didn't amount to a hill of beans. You worked and nothing happened. The devil goes up to the highest mountain. The Lord follows him, because the devil does not lead the Lord, and the devil does not command the Lord. The Lord went with him willingly. And the devil said, all this I will give you. He did this in a vision. Because you know there is no mountain that is so high that you can see all of the things of the world, all of the trappings. And as one of the fathers of the church has said, for the devil to give anything, he first has to possess it. If, in fact, he possessed everything in the world so that he could give it to somebody else, nobody else would have anything, by definition. So it was all just a fantasy. But the Lord answers him saying, even if I had all of these things, even if all of these things were given to me, it's a vain thing. Haven't we heard over and over, what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his immortal soul? We've heard this repeatedly. So the Lord says, me worship you for all of this? I don't want it anyway. If you could have given it, which you could not, but if you could, I would not trade it. It's written that you worship the Lord your God alone. You know, there's another place in the Bible where Jesus rebukes Saint Peter, because Peter was refusing to have the Lord wash him. And he said, you're not going to wash me. And the Lord said, you'll have no part in me. Okay, wash all of me, not just my feet. No, feet are good enough. Then Peter said, because Peter was a bullion, I'm sort of like Peter. The Lord said that he was going to be giving himself up. And Peter said, no, your passion cannot extend to this. No, it's unthinkable. It's unreasonable. I can't bear the thought. And he said, get behind me, Satan, to Peter. Now, what did the Lord say during the temptation in the wilderness to Satan? He did not say, get thee behind me. It means when he was saying this to Peter, he said, get behind me so that you may follow, so that you may understand by walking in my footsteps. When we embrace the wisdom of our church during Holy Week, when we bring ourselves into the fullness of sacrifice, when we are hungry and we are thirsty and we are tired and we are asked to pray continuously, and we follow the Lord, this is the instruction to Peter. But to Satan, what did he say? He said, away with you. Get away. You do not belong to me. You see, the temptations of Adam were in a different order, as I said, but Adam had his relationship with God called into question. Satan told him, you're not going to die when you eat this. I mean, after all, it was Eve that presented him with the apple, and she had already taken a bite, and she had not dropped dead. So, okay, that seems reasonable. What else? Well, Satan said to Adam, well, this is becoming redundant. I'm not going to go through that again. The last thing that I want to say is in the Holy Bible, our fathers have said to us, in prophecy primarily, in Genesis it's written that the serpent was the most subtle. When he tries to insinuate himself into something, He's like a serpent, because a serpent feels to the flesh of a human as though it's greasy. It's so smooth and it moves so easily. He's also compared to a basilisk, which is actually an animal that was in mythology, which was a flying serpent. And believe it or not, he's compared to Leviathan. Leviathan we normally think of as being like a giant whale that was told to our father Job that he would catch him with a fish hook. He would catch him with a fish hook. How does one do such a thing? What is the hook that one grabs the Leviathan with? What is it that is protective for you or for me from the asp or the basilisk? It's the living word of God. Jesus did not use one thing that was not already approved of. He did not use one thing that the devil himself had not heard before. He simply reminds us in his humanity, not using one part of his divinity, but in his humanity, what he does for us is gives us a way so that we may use the same kind of stratagem so that when we feel the attack, we will be able not just to defend, but to prevail. And glory be to our God, both now and ever, in the age of ages. Amen.